public hearing on Senate Bill 578. Senator Cordlin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Avelle Gordley, and I represent Senate District 23, which includes wonderful neighborhoods in northeast and southeast Portland. And it is a privilege to be here this afternoon together with Sean Cruz, who serves in the Senate District 23 office as my chief legislative assistant. And it is because of Mr. Cruz and his experience with the issue of parental abduction that we are before you this afternoon and with the bill that is in front of you, Senate Bill 578. Let me just preface my comments with a few statements, and then, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'd like to call on Sean Cruz to present his testimony.
Absolutely, sir.
Which is very personal and also very compelling. What I would also like to do is, first of all, thank Mickey Cerise. Mr. Cerise is with the Department of Human Services. He is a special assistant for children, adults, and families in the Department of Human Services. Thanking him for his work and his interest in this issue of parental abductions. We thank him for looking at this issue with us so that we could try to gain a better understanding of this subject, which is a national issue with Oregon implications. And again, just thanking Mickey Cerise for his guidance and as we looked at getting this bill drafted. You do have a packet of information in front of you that contains quite a bit of information. We wanted you to have a sense of how parental abductions of children has become a national problem. The bill in front of you, 578, would create a task force to explore issues related to abduction of children by parents. That's the issue. And we also want you to know that although the Department of Human Services believes the proposed legislation is good public policy, they've said that on record. You have that letter in your packet as well. They were unable to support the bill only because of a small fiscal impact that is less than $1,000 that is not included in the governor's recommended budget. So again, we want to make the point that the department believes this is good public policy. Parental abductions of children are a national problem. Family members, including parents, abducted over 200,000 children in 1999. And as a result of parental abductions, a parent is prevented from seeing his or her children even when court orders specify contact parameters and visitation time. And it is the children and their families that suffer from these abductions. In some circumstances, and you'll hear more about this from Mr. Cruz, children grow up and miss the opportunity to bond with one parent. Senate Bill 578 creates an experienced task force membership to look into this problem as it relates to Oregon and to recommend strategies to reduce the incidence of parental abductions. And again, the Department of Human Services estimates a fiscal impact of less than $1,000 for the 03-05 biennium, and the fiscal analysis is based on one management position attending 16 to 20 hours of task force meetings during the 03-05 biennium. And these are task force meetings that would take place in Salem. Before I turn the microphone over to Mr. Cruz, Mr. Chairman, let me just walk through some of the materials that are in your packet. You will find some documentation from the United States Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. That is an office that has been doing a great deal of research around children abducted by family members. And we have one document that lays out for you what the national, what the scope of the national problem is and its characteristics. We will leave that to your reading. We also have become familiar with information published by that same office, and together with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which talks about family abduction, prevention, and response. Again, pointing out that this is a national problem, but also, again, we have our own issues with this in the state of Oregon. We would particularly draw your attention to a page in the document that's titled Family Abduction. And it would be the second page in. It's the article titled Psychological Issues in Recovery and Family Reunification. One of the things that I have learned through my reading of this material and some other material is that the abduction of children really is a form of child abuse. The children, a child or children who are victims of this kind of crime, and it is a crime, suffer emotional and suffer psychological abuse in ways that we are just beginning to really understand. And again, Mr. Cruz can say more about that. I would also draw your attention to a copy of a editorial that appeared in the Oregonian back in August of 1996. At that time, the Oregonian was writing about the work of the Family Law Task Force, which was concerned at that time about the sabotaging of parents' child visitation rights. And in this editorial, which you will find in your packet, they refer to Mr. Cruz's case, pointing out that, and I'm reading from the editorial, sometimes in the most severe cases, a parent takes the children and runs. A Washington County grand jury, for example, issued an indictment recently for criminal custodial interference when the ex-spouse of Mr. Cruz of Portland disappeared unannounced with their four children. And the editorial goes on from there. My point in even referencing the editorial at all is to say this, that the editorial was written in 1996, shortly after the children in this case were abducted, and the results of that abduction, the psychological damage and results of that abduction continue to this day. At this point, Mr. Chair, what I would like to do is stop and turn the microphone over to Mr. Cruz, and then afterwards we're both more than happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Mr. Cruz, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Patridge, members of the committee. Thank you for having this hearing. It's been a long time coming. For the record, my name is Sean Cruz. I am Senator Avell Gordley's legislative assistant, and I want to thank her for support and encouragement, and most of all, for her willingness to listen to the issue and understand, because so many people haven't. And when I came into this session, I was convinced that we needed new laws so that what happened to my family wouldn't happen to somebody else. But what I learned after I got here was that we basically have the laws in place, but what we don't have is a willingness to enforce existing laws. And a lot of that stems from people just don't understand the issue. And that's true in law enforcement. It's, you can't find an attorney to help you. Even in this building, when we sent this bill down to have it drafted and it got into the system, we got the weekly cumulative index. You know, I looked up the bill in there under crimes and offenses, and you know what? It's not there. It's under custody. And what this bill is about is there's a line between what might be a custody issue and where we're talking about a criminal act. And that's what the task force is will be called to address. I'm the father of four children who disappeared in a parental abduction on February 12, 1996. Their names are Natalia Cruz, Aaron Cruz, Tyler Cruz, and Allie Cruz. This abduction was planned at least 3 months in advance and carried out by my former wife and as many as a dozen people in three states. My kids were taken from Hillsboro, Oregon, and to the best of my knowledge, because I still don't know, Battleground, Washington, then back here to Salem, then to the Oregon coast. And all this was going on while in February of 1996 we had this terrible storm, highways closed, and so on and so forth. From the coast, they went to Idaho, then to a series of places in the mountains east of Ogden, Utah, and a few years later, they moved to the southern part of Utah. All of these movements occurred over a period of weeks and months while their former friends and classmates were in school. You know, I don't even have so much as a school picture of any of my kids since 1996. I'd like to give you some background about me. Professionally, I'm a realtor. Thank you. I'm also a Portland Police Bureau volunteer serving on the crisis response team for the past 5 years working with the families of homicide victims. I've been a volunteer for the Department of Justice, also for 5 years serving on the U.S. Attorney's Weed and Seed Steering Committee in Portland, and was a founding director of the National Organization of Weed and Seed representing the Pacific Northwest in Washington, D.C. Weed and Seed is refers to a program to weed out violent criminals out of a targeted neighborhood in seed and community development. I've also been a volunteer and board member for two women's domestic violence organizations in Portland, serving Spanish-speaking women and families escaping domestic violence. I'm an active member of Victory Outreach Church, and recently I was appointed by the Chief of Police to serve on a commission examining departmental training practices and the use of deadly force. Before my four children disappeared, I'd been a Little League baseball and softball coach for 8 years. I was a joint custodial parent, saw my kids an average of 180 days each year during the 5 years that followed our divorce in 1991. My divorce decree states that I'm a fit and proper parent, spells out specifically the days and times in which my kids had residential time with me, time that was faithfully spent for 5 years, and lays out a formula for special days and holidays. My decree states that all major decisions regarding the children are to be made by both parents together, you know, including school decisions, and I don't even have a school picture for the past 7 years. My former wife committed a felony and was charged with custodial interference in the first degree when she took our children out of school without my knowledge or consent, when she changed the children's residence without notifying me of their destination, and when she took the children out of state in violation of a valid joint custody order. These are felonies under Oregon statute. And the Department of Justice just this year released their 2002 study, which shows that 35% of these abductions involve multiple perpetrators like mine. But when you explain that to the police, they act like you're talking crazy. And I want to refer to that report again. In 2002, there were 204,000 plus cases that met their standard for an abduction. And of those, only 91% of those kids were returned. So that works out to 580 kids a day abducted by family members in this country, and only 91% return, which means about 50 kids a day are stolen by family members and not returned. And people just don't know this. 5 months after the abduction, my former wife was indicted by a grand jury and charged with first-degree custodial interference in Washington County. In April 1997, although she had been in continual violation of a valid joint custody order for more than a year and was still hiding the kids in Utah at the time of the trial, she was found not guilty. Members of her family and their associates committed crimes when they, this is ORS 163.257, caused the person taken, enticed, or kept from the lawful custodian or in violation of a valid joint custody order to be removed from the state. This is a Class B felony. None of those people were ever charged. To the best of my knowledge, the statute of limitations ran out on those crimes more than 4 years ago. I'm talking about the criminals who participated in an aided abduction of my children. Never been investigated, never been charged with a crime. Chair Patridge and members of the committee, I am, first and above all these other things that describe my life, a father. And that was and is the most important thing about my life and what gets me up in the morning. Since my children's abduction, I've survived clinical depression, multiple job loss. I was fired from 5 jobs in 1996. Never been fired in my life. But 5 times. Hunger. I've been hungry. I've been homeless. I lived in my car. Didn't have a car after a while. Hopelessness. Despair to the point of considering suicide. I've suffered insomnia since then. I felt and continue to feel my pain, the pain of my late mother, who never saw her grandchildren again. And the pain of my absent children, just as you feel your child's pain when your child is hurt. I suffer frequent nightmares in which I'm searching for a lost child. And I learned the difference between those nightmares and regular nightmares, because in regular nightmares, you try to wake yourself up. But in these nightmares, you don't want to wake up, because you're looking. And I suffer depression and memory loss and other symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, I've served in women's shelters. You know, I've been trained, I've been vetted. You know, I know the difference between this and escaping from domestic violence. For us, parents like myself that have, whose families have disappeared, there's no support groups. You know, if you try to get a lawyer to help you, it's a family practice lawyer. They don't do criminal law. And criminal lawyers don't do family practice. Have I been injured? I would think so. Can't find a lawyer. When you do call a lawyer or someone refers to you a lawyer and gets your hopes up, you know, they don't understand this is a case of child abuse, apart from the damage that's done to me. An abduction of your child is about the abuse of your child. And these abductions, my kids lost all at once. They lost their dad, their grandma, all their friends, their home, both their homes, their church, their neighborhood, their school, all of that. And then they were moved from place to place like that. Now, who are they going to trust next? You know, these are long-lasting, this is long-lasting harm. You know, I have more testimony here. I don't know that I can get through it, honestly. I can't tell you how grateful I am to have the hearing. But what I want to say is that for a parent, the most important thing in your life is time with your child. And every day that goes by, you know, is agony. It is agony. This bill passed out of Senate Judiciary in the end of May. You know, here we are in August. People that lost their child like this, every day counts. You know, for me, statute of limitations ran out years ago. But I know that out there are other parents like myself, and every day we're looking at 50 kids a day in this country abducted by parents and not returned that the statute of limitations no longer applies to. Every day there's 50 cases that drop off the shelf. And I know that there's no law enforcement agency looking for those people. I get in my mail, I get these cards, you know, they come to occupant, and they'll have pictures of missing kids on them. You know, I started looking at those, and it's astonishing. Some of these kids have been missing for over 15 years. And the fact that they came in my mail last week, or the week before, or will come next week, means that there's still a parent looking for them today. Still looking for them. And so, I realize we don't have a work session today, but I really want to ask you to have that work session and report this bill out, because people's lives depend on it.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Questions for the Senator or Mr. Cruz?
Chairman.
Senator.
Sure.
George.
On page 2, thank you, Mr. Chairman. you referred to the April 1997 case in which, not even being present, she was found not guilty of the crime. Was that a decision by the jury? Or was that
That
was a jury decision?
Yeah, she was here. The kids were still hidden in Utah.
Okay.
And in that trial, she swore that this was all a mistake. Mr. Cruz is perfectly free to see his kids. There's never been a problem. And it's just a misunderstanding. But she was never ordered to produce the kids.
Thank you both for coming. Senator Bolton?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Again, I would just like to draw your attention to page 5 of the 6 pages of testimony that Mr. Cruz has provided for you, which again reiterate why there is a need for a task force on parental abductions. The task force will identify the scope of the problem in Oregon. You've just heard a little bit of the story that involves Mr. Cruz and his family. There are other families out there. And we need to understand the scope of the problem in Oregon in its numbers and in the harm that results. And the harm that results to children. The task force will study and evaluate strategies to reduce the incidence of parental abductions in this state, and when they do occur, find methods to resolve parental abductions in a manner that serves in the best interest of the child and the child's family. That's what this task force is all about. The task force would do its work over the interim and come back up with a report to the next legislative assembly. And I would just say again, for the record, that there is no reason, no justification that I would accept for not moving this bill forward. The fiscal impact, and if you need to hear more about that, Mr. Wiles is here in the back of the room who can verify where we would be with the fiscal impact. The fiscal impact should not be presented as a barrier to moving this work forward. So, Mr. Chair, I would ask you for your leadership in speaking to the speaker and any others who will play a role in making decisions in the last days and weeks of the session about what which bills move forward and which bills don't.
Senator, can you address the issue regarding the fiscal on this bill?
Mr. Wiles, would you like to come forward, please? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, excuse me, my name is Jim Wiles. I'm manager of committee services here for the Oregon State Legislature. With regards to the fiscal, I believe I can't speak directly to the staffing requirements for the task force and what the requirements would be for that and what costs might be incurred for providing that staff to the task force. In a meeting that I had with Senator Gordley and with Sean, I was told that we'd be looking at a possibility of 4 to 5 committee meetings, and with that, with the staff that I have for the interim, it is my feeling that we could easily staff this task force with the existing staff that we have. In fact, if we're looking at 5 committee meetings with a conservative estimate of 4 hours of prep time for each hour of meeting time, and we had a total of 5 meetings for 40 hours, we'd be looking at 200 hours for staff. And based on a 14-month interim, for a staff person, that takes about 9% of their time. And for the total resource that I have available through the administrators, it'd be about 2 to 3% of my total resource available that I would apply to this. So we could do this with existing staff at no additional cost to the state.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, you know, you with a law degree, you know, you probably understood and accepted this a long time ago, but I can remember the first time when I said, well, that can't be true because didn't the judge render a decision? Isn't there a court order relative to this, you know, to who in fact has access to the children? And the answer was, well, yes. And I said, well, that should solve the problem. And the answer back was, no. No, they're just totally disregarded. And so, I mean, I would really support having something going forward where we could at least have consideration of what do we do to make sure that when a decision is or a judgment has been rendered, that in fact would be carried out. Because I can personally, and I shared with Sean a couple of months ago now, experience with members of my family, this is cousins, in an exact same situation, and it impacted them up until today. That decision of being separated from their family has impacted them up to today, and it's been a troubled family, and this would be a group of cousins of mine. So hopefully we can move something on this with us. Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too would encourage a work session on this bill. I've never been terribly impressed with task forces, but I did serve on a task force on pain management during the last interim. And the dynamics, it's not always necessarily that you get improved legislation in legislative product as much as having the people from different disciplines and different aspects of the problem together in the same room. That in terms of, I think it's a very effective way to strategize in a situation like this where we've got a lot of legislation already on the books, but the pieces just aren't coming together to effectively serve Oregonians. So I think a task force would be a very positive undertaking. The other thing that as we see these statistics and the impact on the families that are involved with abductions. There's a great many families and custodial parents that live life with the fear of it happening, that is also knowing that if their spouse doesn't bring the kids back from a visitation or something, that there's probably very little that can be done about it, and it leaves incredible anxiety on the part of a lot of people out there. Thank you.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late both to you and to the proponents of this bill. Actually, I was wondering if the committee was meeting, and I came down the hall here and then had to, and then didn't have to, but we talked to the proponents of 904, which is the other bill on the agenda, not knowing that this was occurring right now. I think this is the kind of focused task force that actually has the possibility for actually getting something accomplished. If you were to propose a task force on controlling health care costs, I think that your range would be so far in terms of what you'd have to try to address that the possibility of doing anything substantial would be minimal. But this seems to be very focused to me. And I understand now that there's a revised fiscal on it, but sometimes when you have a fiscal, and I don't know if that is the case in this case, it looks to me as if it is you're making an assumption about what the cost would be if it was simply standalone and not looking at the fact that, and I haven't read, just received it, the fact that in some case, if we utilize existing personnel here, they're either going to be doing this or they're going to be doing something else. So is it an actual additional cost or is it utilizing existing resources which you've already budgeted for? It's like the classic one that we always hear that to prepare a bill, it costs so much in this building. Well, there is a portion of that cost that you could avoid, obviously the printing of it, but we would still have as many people in legislative council as we currently have, even though those and everywhere else. So I would think that this should be something that we look at for as an interim task force. I think it's something very important, and I would like to see at least a couple of targeted task forces come out of the public safety committee in this process.
And I just want to make a couple as a former deputy district attorney and someone who had to field calls to a district attorney's office from parents who where their orders were not being carried out or the court's orders were not being carried out. I know it is a very difficult situation and it is often a very gray area of the law in terms of what happens at the district attorney's office and how police officers respond to these various situations. I guess I do want to look at this bill some more, and I'm not opposed to moving forward on a task force. I would like to make sure, though, that the focus also focuses on the enforcement piece. I understand that there's a lot of trauma and other items that happen, which appears to be the major focus of this particular piece of legislation. But I think the clarity issues for the law surrounding these particular issues are play substantial importance in dealing with not only the emotional trauma and the trauma of the children and the parents that will suffer as a result of this. So that would be my only comment on the piece of legislation that's before us. Right now.
Mr. Chair, if I may say so, thank you. Just hearing your comments and response to what you've heard, we would welcome your involvement and participation with the task force over the interim. I think that you would bring a quality of knowledge and expertise that would serve the task force very well. And I say that fully expecting that this legislation will move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you both. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 578? Doug, did you have any comments?
Two things, Mr. Chair. First, I apologize when copying your packets that the members have. There's a second page to the bill. I apologize on that. The other thing is on the fiscal, and it's been alluded to, the fiscal, which is a little over $99,000 in the current version, is in incremental costs. It really does depend on what the leadership, the presiding officers, and in terms of what other interim business, interim task forces, and those types of things are happening. And the comments that others have made are right. It's a matter of what else needs to be done. There is that base of committee staff and others in the building, and it's when that reaches that maximum capacity of that, this would be the incremental cost of doing this task force over and above that amount.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
We'll close the hearing on Senate Bill 578. I assume Cindy is hustling down here as we speak, Mr. Wilson. So at this point in time, we are going to open a full committee hearing public hearing on Senate Bill 904A. I do believe that there are some technical issues surrounding this particular piece of legislation that we are going to continue to look at, so it's not the chair's intent to send this out today, but I am here to take public testimony, and I don't believe there was a sign-up sheet that was put up at the top, so maybe I'm going to pass out a little piece of paper. Do we have any blank sign-up sheets here? People want to sign up real quick, then I'll... Kevin, are you guys weighing in on this? No? Okay. So we have more technical difficulties than I think even at this particular point in time. So we're going to cancel the public hearing today, so I apologize for people who've traveled all this way, but that is a message from a higher pay grade than any of the people on this particular committee have. So
well, we appreciate your efforts.
At this point in time, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 904A. And at this point in time, there being no further business for the committee, and I appreciate the committee moving out the budgets this morning. That was helpful. I apologize. I was in with the speaker. At this point in time, we are closed.